The word today is ghost. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. When Jesus appeared to his followers after he rose from the dead, it was such a shocking event that they could not believe it. No one expects a human to rise from the dead, but Jesus showed them with convincing proofs that he had physically risen. He allowed them to touch him, and he ate food in their presence. He demonstrated that he was not just some friendly spirit, but the real resurrected Lord. Here to share more with us is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Ghost.
If you know the story of the gospel of the life of Jesus, there are many, many amazing things that are recorded for us in the Bible about what he said, what he did, and of course about his death and resurrection from the dead. Any one of those events, such as a healing of a man born blind, or Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he discusses spiritual matters for quite a long time, would have been a fantastic thing to be a part of. It would have been amazing to see those. There's one particular moment that I think, if we were to watch it almost like we were watching a video, would probably make us laugh, would probably cause us to smile at what was going on. And that was at the resurrection of Jesus. One of the accounts of this is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It's in the last chapter of the book, chapter 24, and it starts at verse 36, and it says this: "While they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, 'This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high.'" That last part about "stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high" was a reference to the coming of the Holy Spirit, the event that Christians know as Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit in a very powerful way with signs and wonders. But for now, we're just focusing on this moment of Jesus appearing to his followers after he had been raised from the dead. And I can just imagine the looks on their faces. Have you ever seen someone who's been utterly surprised? Maybe it's an individual who had a birthday party surprise for them. Or maybe it's a worker who was given a special gift from the boss because they'd been working hard and the boss is recognizing them for their effort. Perhaps it was a joke that was so funny that the person couldn't contain themselves and they were laughing hysterically. There's moments of surprise that delight us all. One of the greatest surprises that humans have ever had was to see Jesus raised from the dead. Oh, what I would have given to have been there, to see that, to be in that moment. And yet there was confusion. Now, that would make sense because we don't expect people from the dead to come back, much less as Jesus did to come through the walls of the place where they were through the door, even though it was locked. He didn't knock on the door and then ask to be admitted. He came and appeared to them. This is part of my theory about the resurrection body. Now, this isn't explained in the New Testament, but I have a thought that the resurrection body is still going to be physical, as Jesus demonstrates. He shows that it's still him. In fact, two different ways he demonstrates this. He allows them to touch him. Obviously, a ghost doesn't have any physical substance to them. They're supposed to be just an apparition. Do you remember Jesus one time? It was night and the apostles were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up and Jesus was walking on the water, another amazing miracle of Christ, and they think it's a ghost. Well, at the end of the account, Jesus actually comes into the boat with them and they realize it's still Jesus, but they thought they saw ghosts. A lot of individuals have thought that they've seen apparitions, and it's not all that uncommon for someone who has lost a relative to death to think they saw them at some point or that the ghost manifested themselves somehow. So the thought of ghosts has been with humanity almost since the very beginning, since creation. But here they think Jesus is a ghost. And he demonstrates to them he's not. He's physically raised from the dead. And then he goes another step and he says, give me something to eat. Well, obviously spirits don't consume fish or other food. So we see that Jesus is proving to them that he's very real physically back from the dead. And that's critical because then everything he said has legitimacy. Then for him to say that he is the way, the truth, and the life, for him to say that he is the shepherd of the sheep and they will come in and go out and find pasture, for him to forgive sins of individuals, this all has legitimacy because he has the power even over death. For us who put our faith in him, what it means is that we have the gift of eternal life granted to us as a blessing for trusting, for putting our faith in him. We have that blessing of assurance of living with God in eternity after death. It's fantastic. And so Jesus proves that he's not a ghost, that he's not an apparition. And this is very important for us because Christ is at the same time both true man and true God. He's not a hologram. He's not some kind of a spiritual entity that shows up like a vapor and then disappears. Christ is very real and solid. That's why the gospel writers have so much firsthand account information for us, is because they want us to understand who he is and what he did, how he defeated death for us. And there's a very important phrase here that's said by the apostle writers. In fact, in 1 John chapter 1, John is saying that when they encountered the risen Christ, he says, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life so that you may have fellowship with us. John was one of the eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't know that I need to remind you that all of these men, with one exception, John, who ended up on the island of Patmos in prison, but all of the others were executed, martyred for their faith because they would refuse to take back these accounts. They refused to deny the resurrected Jesus. It's very powerful evidence for us. And they wrote so that you could have faith in Jesus too. That's what it means when it says, so that you could have fellowship with us. The fellowship in Christianity is very profound. It's very deep. It goes beyond just liking someone else and getting together with them. It's fellowship surrounding the resurrected Lord Jesus. It's fellowship in the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. It's fellowship having been baptized into the name of Jesus for forgiveness of sins, to be called a child of God. This is a very deep, profound thing. And this is offered to everyone. Christianity is not exclusive in eliminating certain people from salvation. It's inclusive. But here's the key. It's through faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only means that God gives us. He wants all included. But you must have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must receive Him as your Lord, as your God. That is how you obtain forgiveness of sins. That is how you have fellowship in the body of Christ, in the group of Christians. That is how you have assurance that you will be going to heaven, that after death you will live with God in eternity. And I take the eyewitness account of the Gospels literally, and I hope that you will also, that you will understand that these men wrote these things so that you could be in fellowship with them, to know that Jesus Christ really has been raised from the dead. The Lord God wants you to have confidence. He wants you to have assurance in regards to your future. I urge you to get into the Bible, to start reading it. If you don't know what the purpose of your life is, if you don't know why you're existing here, God is waiting for you to discover this beautiful truth that John in his gospel, that Luke in his gospel, in the Bible, are talking about. Come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Recognize that he's been raised from the dead. This was no apparition. This was no kind of imaginary event. This was a very real moment that the apostles realized that Jesus was raised from the dead. And it will be a moment of your rebirth and rekindling of your spirit when you find that Christ truly has risen from the dead. That will be the beginning of your new life, your new hope, your new existence with the Lord God forever.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.